from wisdom is better than the profits of silver or gold we read. Whatever we think is worth enough to pursue, to spend energy, resources to gain, none of those things can compare with wisdom. So happy is the man who finds wisdom, for length of days is in her hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She, wisdom, is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. So as we looked in Proverbs 2 last Sunday and parts of Proverbs 1 and other passages the Sunday before that, to gain those most worthy benefits of wisdom, to be truly happy and eternally secure, we need to be making our ears attentive to wisdom. Make our ears attentive to wisdom. To hear the word, receive the word, store it in our hearts as we read a while back. We need to be applying our hearts and crying out in prayer to the Lord to gain understanding and to pursue understanding, wisdom, knowledge as though it were buried treasure. We looked at this earlier again. This is like a recap. So getting wisdom and retaining wisdom, that ought to be our priority. Because wisdom is more valuable than anything else. To drive home that point, Proverbs 4:13 says, wisdom is your life. Now, why would Proverbs make such a bold statement? Wisdom is your life. And that wisdom is more valuable than anything else we might seek after. Because God's word also teaches us that Christ is wisdom. Christ is wisdom. We know that He is life. He told us He is life. And we have life in Him. So wisdom is your life as you find your life in Christ. Christ came into the world to become wisdom from God for us. In the 1 Corinthians 1. Wisdom from God for us who believe in Him, who trust with Him with all our heart. Trust in Him with all our heart. And as we become followers of Christ, followers of wisdom, walking in the path of wisdom, then we will walk in the path of the upright, as Proverbs told us in 2. The path of the upright, the path of those who will actually dwell in the land, the promised land, ultimately the recreated creation, the new heavens and the new earth. And when we are trusting in Christ and we come to faith in Jesus Christ, when we are pursuing wisdom from His word to be followers of wisdom, then we live the kind of life that testifies, as Paul testifies in Galatians 2 at the end, the life I now live, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Wisdom is your life. Christ is your life. And it's to show up in how we live that we walk in the way of wisdom. That's the assured way of eternal security. In Christ, and we mentioned His last time or time before as well, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Scripture teaches us. So, in summary, relating wisdom to Christ, as Proverbs does, as other scriptures do as well, we can think of it this way. Wisdom is stored up like in a treasure chest for us who are in Christ, who have faith in Christ, who put our trust in Him. It's stored up for us, wisdom, like a treasure chest in Christ. And we gain that treasure of wisdom as we make our ears attentive to wisdom, as we make ourselves attentive to the Word of God, to the Gospel. As we apply our hearts to it, we put it into our hearts, we have our hearts direct us. We apply ourselves to living in wisdom. And we pursue wisdom with its great value as though we're like buried treasure. When we are doing all of that, then we are showing that wisdom is our life. Christ is our life. And rather than leaning on our own understanding, which we're so prone to do, we trust in the Lord. And by the wisdom that He gives us as a gift, as we pursue it, He directs our steps. So we walk in wisdom. We walk in righteousness. We walk in the path of the upright. And then, as we have pursued wisdom, as we gain wisdom, as we retain wisdom, as we're always seeking to have wisdom direct our path, we'll find true happiness. We'll find true satisfaction. We'll find true contentment. We'll find true joy, true peace, true security that nothing else that we pursue can possibly give to us. And so, why does wisdom grant us all these aspects of happiness that we find throughout the Scriptures? And again, it's because Christ has become wisdom for us, wisdom from God for us. And Christ is the one who has reconciled us to God. Christ Jesus gained peace for us with God. He satisfies our thirst and hunger. He's our living bread, the living water. So, because Christ is wisdom and Christ is our Redeemer, we have all these benefits that grant us ultimately happiness, true joy, contentment, peace. We can say, for me to live is Christ. That's another way of saying wisdom is my life. Because in Him, you have passed from death to life. And He is the captain of your salvation, leading you to glory. And truly happy then is the man who finds wisdom. It's another way of saying he's turned and come to Christ and trusts in the Lord with all of his heart. That's where happiness is found. And one of the benefits of wisdom, one of the benefits of leaning not on your own understanding is that wisdom gives us the true understanding of the world in which we live our present life. That's coming now to our text from verses 19 and 20 in chapter 3 of Proverbs. None of us sinners in Adam whose minds are corrupted by sin and whose minds are not that of God in the first place, we have creaturely minds, none of us can really grasp why things are the way they are, why things work the way they do, unless we trust in the Lord. We trust in wisdom to give us that understanding. The understanding that we live in God's creation, that we live in the creation that has been corrupted by sin, the sin of the first man, Adam. We understand from wisdom that this corrupt world in which we live is a stage on which God is working out redemption so that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption. That's what Paul writes in Romans 8. So that God's people will be set free from corruption's power, bondage. And that God's people, those who trust in the Lord, who live by wisdom, know that the path of wisdom leads ultimately to living in the renewed creation, freed of that corruption, ourselves perfectly free of corruption of sin, to the resurrection. Wisdom alone gives us that understanding, that reality in which we live. So you and I, we live in God's creation, which was established by wisdom. That's what our text teaches us. And that redemption from the creation, corruption in the fall, our corruption in the fall, that redemption of sinners from the bondage in which we find ourselves due to the fall of Adam, that redemption is by the same wisdom that established the creation in the first place. The creation that serves redemption. By wisdom we understand that we live in the corrupt creation that is being, God is working towards renewing to be perfectly holy and righteous as us. And it's all by wisdom. It's all by Christ. So Proverbs makes this connection between wisdom and creation. Creation and wisdom are linked in our text from Proverbs 3 and also from Proverbs 8. Creation and redemption in Christ are much more intimately related than the world or even some in the visible church are willing to believe. There's a lot of people who say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in Him being the Savior, but they don't believe in God's creation in 6 days, as Genesis wisdom teaches us. The two are intimately related because Christ is the Creator as well. And He created the earth and the heavens for the sake of it being the stage for His redemption that He comes to accomplish on the way to renewing it, making all things new ultimately at His return. So as you and I listen to and gain wisdom from God's Word, we know that creation and redemption, creation and salvation, we know the beginning and the end of all things. It's all part of God's one plan. Wisdom planned it all in eternity. Wisdom carries it out. Wisdom will bring it to its fulfillment. And so wisdom gives us the understanding which we need to have, which the world lacks, which is only found in Christ by faith. Wisdom gives the understanding that nothing in time and history happens randomly. Nothing. All of it, every single thing that ever was, that is, or will be, from the very foundation of the heavens and the earth, every event in all of time, the birth of Jesus, His cross, His resurrection, His sovereign rule at the right hand of God, His yet return, all of it was planned. It's all a thread woven into the full fabric of creation, fall, redemption. That's the understanding of the way it really is that we get by wisdom. It's all by wisdom. And the preeminence of wisdom is Christ. And the preeminence of wisdom became personified when Christ came in the flesh. Christ Jesus is wisdom from God for us. So we trust in Him. We trust His Word to be the truth. And we gain wisdom. We gain understanding. We gain knowledge. We know reality. We can live rightly in this world in anticipation of it being made perfect, free of corruption. All by wisdom. Remember what we looked at too and remind you here from Colossians 1 that Christ is before all things. Proverbs 8 speaks of wisdom in the same way. We see wisdom's ordering of the creation in the Genesis 1 6-day creation account. We see it there. And in conjunction with that testimony of wisdom, we also see wisdom ordering the creation from Proverbs 8. Same testimony. Same truth. Listen again. When He, the Lord, prepared the heavens, when He assigned to the sea its limits, that's all speaking of the creation, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I, wisdom, was beside Him as a master craftsman. Well, who is the master craftsman? We know that all things were created through Christ and for Him, and that all things hang together in Him. Wisdom is Christ. Christ is wisdom. So only by wisdom do we really understand the world in which we live. We know its beginning. We know why. We know the wherefore. We know ultimately the end. so we can live appropriately, but only by wisdom. And that wisdom is by trusting in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not on our own understanding, which we're so prone to do, and which the world always does. So let us continue to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. See, we know from the same understanding we get from wisdom that Christ has overcome this fallen world. It's his own testimony. His kingdom, Christ's kingdom, the kingdom of righteousness and holiness, the kingdom that is free from any taint of sin, has come. And it has come into us as we are engrafted into Christ, as we're given a new heart, as we are made a new creation in Christ. The kingdom of heaven has come. So we are thus no longer of the corruption that we see all around us, even as we live in the corruption. But we are now God's set apart, holy people. We understand by the wisdom we gain from God's word how then we should live in Christ. Not as the corrupt do, but as those who have gained wisdom, as those who are holy in Christ do. That's the walk of wisdom, the walk of doing what God tells us to do, the walk of following Christ, obeying all that he told us to do. That's what a disciple does. And we are enabled to make a beginning of this walk of wisdom because Christ is working in us, strengthening us. His Spirit is illumining his word. We're being sanctified so that we can walk no longer in the path of rebellion as we're so prone to do. You know, all of us can recall instances when, especially as children, we walked in the path of rebellion. We wouldn't do as we were told by our parents or teachers. We're prone to do it as adults because we still have this remaining sinful nature. But by wisdom, by Christ, in his strength, as we depend upon it, we can make a beginning of living by wisdom, choosing the path of goodness, choosing the path of righteousness, living in the path of uprightness that assures us that as we are on that path, we have eternal security. We will live in the new heavens and the new earth. So by wisdom, Christ in us, let me say it again, as Paul says, that this is life for us. We should be able to say this with Paul. It is no longer I who live as we come to wisdom, but Christ lives in me. My life is wisdom. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the understanding of wisdom. The understanding we have as we come to Christ by faith. And as our text shows us that this wisdom that is Christ, that was there in the beginning, your eternally begotten Son of God was there in the beginning. Through him, the Father created all things. Christ, wisdom, built the creation, so to say, established its foundation, the heavens and the earth. And then he is the redeemer of this corrupted creation. Proverbs 3 in verses 19 and 20 makes a very interesting statement. As we read it, there's this kind of an abrupt transition when we get to verse 19 from verse 18. And let me read it again, our text. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down to dew. So notice again here, it's the Lord's wisdom, understanding, and knowledge that are the cause of the earth and the heavens. And they're the cause of this earth's crust opening up as in Noah's flood, Genesis 7. And also, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the Lord are the cause of rain dropping from the clouds as in nurturing crops. By his wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, the Lord established, we could say, he built the earth and the heavens so it serves his redemptive purposes. Christ built it to serve his purposes as the Redeemer. It's the stage of redemption. It looks ahead to what he will do. In Noah's days, when the deeps of the earth were broken up and the water flooded all of the earth to the tops of the mountains, the consequence was that all living things that God had made were destroyed except for Noah and his family, who are saved through water in the ark. See, the creation served the purpose of redemption by the water of the flood, to point ahead to the redemption that would be in Christ. You know, the Apostle Peter makes an analogy between the water through which Noah was saved and our faith in the resurrected Lord. We are cleansed, our conscience is cleansed, not by the water of baptism, but by faith in the Lord. His blood cleanses us, and we are spared the judgment of God and saved unto eternal life. The creation pointed to that when it opened up the deeps. It was created for that purpose, to be able to do that, to serve redemptive purposes, to foreshadow redemption in Jesus Christ. So creation and redemption are intimately linked again, as we see. Now, as I pointed out when we first started reading Proverbs, we see that the same words, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, same Hebrew words are used in the building of the tabernacle. God gave wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to the man who built the tabernacle as he commanded it to be. And what is a tabernacle? The wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that built the tabernacle points to Christ, has its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. God sent his Son, the Creator, who was there in the beginning, who laid the foundations. He sent him into the world to be God with us. He tabernacled among us. That's the fulfillment of the tabernacle. The bloody sacrifices offered up in the tabernacle pointed to Christ, the shedding of his blood, which makes atonement for our sins so that we can dwell in the creation restored. So the same words that are used of Christ building the creation are the same words used in his building the tabernacle, which points to him as the Redeemer. Creation and redemption, again, intimately linked together. And when Christ came, what did he do? What did he promise to do? He said to his apostles, I will build my church. And you and I, as we come to faith in Jesus Christ, the preaching of the gospel, we are built as living stones together on the foundation whose cornerstone is Jesus Christ. We are built together into the temple of God, the holy temple of God, the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So Christ, wisdom, builds the creation for his redemptive purposes. He comes, he builds his church to accomplish redemption for us as we are joined to him, are built into the temple himself, and he will come again to restore all things, to fulfill the plan of wisdom, that is, the completion of our redemption at the resurrection, to have the corrupt earth restored, recreated, to become the eternal, holy, righteous place of those who walk in wisdom, who walk in the path of goodness and uprightness, we who are disciples of Christ, who is wisdom. See, all of this hangs together in the Scriptures. Christ, the Creator, Christ the Redeemer, Christ the fulfiller of the eternal plan of wisdom to have a people who will glorify God forever in perfect peace, in perfect joy, in perfect happiness, all at the end of this age that was planned at his return. That's why Jesus says, in application for us and how we live our lives. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, in other words, we follow Christ, follow his teachings, follow wisdom, walk in the way of wisdom, then we're like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The foolish one doesn't build it on the rock, leans on his own understanding and builds on foolishness, lack of understanding, on lack of wisdom. No stability, it crashes down. There's no stability in life unless you follow wisdom. Trust in wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We all know that. We have experiences of that. When we've gone off, followed foolishness, we know the consequences. Proverbs 24 also says this, and we didn't read this, but I'll read it to you here. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4 says, "With wisdom a house is built, with understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." Notice again, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, same words. Now, a house is built. That can apply to all kinds of things in this present life. It can apply to the local congregation of Christ's church, this church. A house is built. The house of the Lord is built. We are built as the living stones of that house. It can apply to a Christian home, as which we sang of in our hymn. Same words that are used in the building of the tabernacle. Our lives as living stones are being built together by wisdom. Our building our lives as members of the church is building our lives on the rock, on wisdom, establishing our Christian homes, building our relationships, whether it's marriage or a relationship with our children, friendships with co-workers. All those relationships are to be established by wisdom. And the only way we can do that is if we heed wisdom, if we listen to the sayings of Jesus and do them, live them out, apply them in our lives. Be discerning. Follow the path of wisdom. Walk in the way of wisdom. Wisdom is a tree of life because it's Christ ultimately. And it's upon him, as we're grafted into him, as we feed upon him, that we bear the fruit of wisdom. It shows up in our relationships. If you have trouble in your relationship and your marriages, if you have trouble in your relationship with your children, look at how the relationship is being built. Is it built on wisdom? Or are you leaning on your own understanding? That's always the problem for us. Always trust in the Lord with all your heart. Look to wisdom. Follow the path of wisdom. Listen to the Word of God. You know, we live in the world. It's so obvious to us how corrupt it is. We see it not only in our own self, because we still have corrupt flesh, which we are prone to give into, and then we follow the path of wisdom, follow the path of foolishness rather than wisdom. We see the corruption all around us. We see the evil, you know, school shootings, you know, the way governments behave in the world in terms of mistreating people. We know that life is full of tribulations and adversities, difficulties pressed upon us all the time. We know that. We understand that by wisdom. But we also understand that this corruption is temporary. Because in the midst of all this, Christ is building his church, calling corrupt sinners like us to himself by the gospel, making us his own, a new creation in Christ. So we're freed from that bondage of sin and corruption, granted to anticipate the freedom from every presence of corruption in the new heavens and the new earth. We look ahead in the midst of trial, in the midst of all that we suffer through in this life. We look ahead to being the white-robed multitude. White means the robe of holiness, Christ's robe of righteousness. We're looking forward to being that washed in the blood of the Lamb multitude, worshiping the Lamb in the new heavens and the new earth. That's understanding. That's wisdom. That gives us hope. In the midst of whatever's going on, there's that hope. But only as you trust in the Lord with all your heart, only as you look to wisdom, incline your ears to it, apply your heart to it, seek it out as buried treasure. So, beloved, Our calling is to be witnesses to Christ, witnesses to wisdom. So what that means is that we should demonstrate the way of wisdom to those around us. Show them what it looks like when you follow the way of wisdom, when you trust in the Lord with all your heart. Show them the kind of discernment that you have in terms of making choices to choose the path of righteousness rather than that of wickedness. We witness Christ, we witness wisdom as we find and demonstrate joy in Christ. As Paul tells, rejoice always for the victory that you have in Christ. So we have to be those who demonstrate joy, demonstrate our comfort in Christ, demonstrate that we have eternal security, that the situations that we face don't bring us down because we know the promises of God and we live in their hope. So may all of us not only seek after wisdom, may we all also retain wisdom. May we be pursuing it. May we have it be directing our path so that we demonstrate that our trust is in the Lord. And we do so as we follow the way of wisdom in every aspect of our lives. So let us build our lives on wisdom. It's especially a good thing to hear for all of our young people. Build your lives on wisdom, not by the foolishness that you hear in school or, you know, by friends. Build it on wisdom. Build it on God's word. Build it in Christ. And live in the assured hope of glory as you follow the way of wisdom. Look ahead to the church fully built by Christ, our bodies and souls fully healed of the sin of corruption, and the restored creation eternally your and my home. So remember, wisdom built the creation, wisdom built the tabernacle, wisdom Christ is building his church. So let us show forth the glory of the Creator, the glory of the Redeemer, the glory of the one who will recreate all things at the end. Let us live with that understanding. Let us live in the way of wisdom. Let people see that our lives are established by wisdom, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.